You've been to the doctor, or if you have a doctor that you see regularly, there is probably some sort of file on you, whether it's electronic or paper file. About 20 years ago, I had a bad injury to one of my eyes and had a horrible, horrible black eye that caused my eye to swell shut. Went to the doctor and they took pictures of me. And those large 5x7 glossy photos of my ugly face were right inside my folder. Every time the nurse would open it, if I went in for a checkup, that's what they would see. And I always waited for her wince, like, oh, every time. In the same way that your physical life requires some attention and some maintenance, if you will, throughout your life, and as you get older, you'll see how important that becomes. In a sense, each individual church and congregation sometimes has its own problems and things that it needs to deal with. And in the text that we're going to be reading in just a moment from the book of Revelation, God is addressing seven different congregations. And it's as if he is looking at each one of them with certain particular concerns that they should have and things that they need to address for their spiritual health, if you will. And the one before us today is from the book of Revelation chapter 3, and it's the text printed before you. And a little bit about this congregation may help us understand before we read the text. This is the church in a town called Laodicea, which is near Colossae, if you've heard of the book of Colossians. It was about 11 miles away from Colossae. And it was down in southwest Turkey. And there had been a large Jewish synagogue there, and it apparently had been now converted to Christianity. So many of these people had become Christians. And a little before this letter was written, there was an earthquake that destroyed much of the city. But it was a very wealthy community, and because of that, they were able to rebuild rather quickly. And but at the same time, there are now some spiritual concerns that need to be addressed for this congregation. Now, these people had been blessed to hear about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who had come into the world to go to the cross and pay for all of their sins, as he's done for ours as well. And by that death, God had now forgiven all their sins. Jesus, they'd been taught, had been risen from the dead, and through that gives believers in him the hope of going to heaven themselves and their own bodily resurrection from the dead someday and the future of life in heaven. So this is what they had been taught in their congregation. And God now has a particular angel address them with a letter because he knows that they might be losing this. Let's read the letter now from Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now we wonder maybe what caused this lukewarmness. We use that expression, don't we? Lukewarm, if something's not quite hot or cold. What caused this lukewarmness among these Christians? Is it the fact that they maybe had a lot of money around them? We don't specifically know. It doesn't specifically say. All we know is that they had started to kind of forget about their love of their Savior and didn't seem to be taking it very seriously. There was no zeal in them about this. And this text has always been a very important one for me when it comes to my own spiritual checkup, if you will, for my spiritual life, because this is probably the greatest problem that I face as a Christian, and that is apathy and lethargy, just kind of not caring the way I should, sluggishness, lack of enthusiasm about my faith, kind of a spiritual vacuum that starts to develop inside of my heart. This week in our chapel addresses, we've heard a number of things about fighting the fight of faith and putting on the full armor of God and being engaged in that great battle and struggle for the faith. But sometimes for the soldier, the struggle is an internal one. And for me, that's certainly the case. The internal problem of me just kind of growing tired and weary of trying to stay with Christ. It's hard to be a Christian. It's not just because the world doesn't want us to believe in Christ. It's because our own sinful flesh doesn't want us to believe in Christ. That's the hardest part. It's hard to stay in this faith. It's hard to keep confessing the same sins over and over and to do it with any real passion or care. It's hard to stay with this and we just tend to grow kind of take it for granted and apathetic and so on. It's challenging for us to stay vigilant in our faith in Christ. The text before us uses some interesting terms. Someone can either be hot, which means representing a faith that is very committed to Christ and loving him, or cold, which is complete opposite. That is the indifference of unbelief. But God also says there's also this middle, and that's lukewarmness. You know, it's like a piece of chicken. You either want it hot or cold. You don't like room temperature chicken. It just doesn't taste very good. I don't anyway. There was a pastor back in the 1700s that helped to start the Methodist Church named John Wesley. He made a great comment. He said, "A preacher of God's word should either convert people or make them angry." In other words, there's nothing in between. The middle ground, though, is where I am often tempted to gravitate, and it's just because of the sluggishness of my sinful human nature. But the problem is, and that's what this text is addressing, that zone of neutrality, which is very tempting for us to kind of slide back into, that zone of neutrality can ultimately become deadly. Now, when God chastens, when he punishes, when he disciplines those who are his faithful, who are his children, he's always doing it out of love, even if it means getting upset with them. Even if it means coming to them and saying, "Wake up or I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth." That's some pretty harsh language. You don't want to make God puke, okay? That's not a good thing. So when God comes to us and comes after us in our faith to wake us up, it's always being driven by his love. A number of years ago, I've only been in a crack house once in my life. But I was. And there was a young lady in a congregation I was serving who had gotten into the wrong crowd. She was about 16 years old. And her dad called me up one night and took me to that house because he knew she was there and asked me to go in with him and find her. And we walked past about five or six other people passed out on couches and things and went looking for his daughter who was back in the kitchen. And he walked past all those other young people and didn't pay attention to them. But when he saw his daughter and he got in her face and got her and pulled her out of that house, that was the one he cared about. Okay? When God comes into your heart and mind, it's because you're his child. When he gets in your face about your faith and calls upon me or you to wake up and to repent of our sins and to take this seriously, and to hold on to what Christ has done for us and love and treasure the forgiveness of our sins and what our Savior's done. When he gets in our face, it's being driven and motivated entirely by his love. His indignation that sometimes can come at us in his word is there to wake us up and to bring us out of a dangerous situation. And so today, through the word of God once again, our Lord Jesus comes and knocks on the door of my heart and yours as well. And the reason is, as our text explains, he ultimately wants to eat with you. He wants you to dine with him at the feast of salvation in heaven. I once in a while have students come and say to me, "I feel like I'm losing my faith. I feel like I'm losing my faith. When Martin Luther was struggling with that years ago, he used to go talk to a particular man named John Staupitz. And Staupitz, when he saw Luther wrestling with this, used to make him go do something that was very important. And that was to go and try to teach the faith to somebody else. If you're struggling and wrestling in your own personal faith, I challenge you to do that. Somehow get involved in defending it or teaching it to someone else. Somehow put yourself out on the front line. There's something that God has put into our faith that when we have to defend it in some way, the Holy Spirit himself stirs up our faith in such a way that we now become more passionate about it again. Ultimately, this spiritual checkup for us that God gives us through his word is always for our good, so that someday we can be in his presence forever in heaven. Amen.